However, Allah misguides, none can guide them. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness with full conviction that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is one and he has no partner. And I also bear witness with full conviction that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the last and final messenger as well. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear, that mindfulness of Allah, the way that he is meant to be feared. And do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O people, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created you from a single soul, and from him he created his spouse, and from them both he created many men and women. And have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one from whom you demand your mutual rights and those of kin, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed is watching over everything that we do. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, O person of faith, O people of iman, have that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that which is just and true. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify your affairs and forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then those are the individuals that have achieved the true victory. أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْكَلَامِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The best of speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of matters within the religion are those newly invented matters that has no basis. For every innovation leads to misguidance, and every misguidance eventually leads to the hellfire. My dear brothers and sisters, as we work towards our future, as we prepare for our future, doesn't matter what stage of life we're in, everyone is hoping for a bright future for themselves, for their career, for their families, for their children, so on and so forth. But there is also another future that is absolutely guaranteed, and there is no running away from it, which is the fact that we have to go and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. And our accounts are going to be weighed. And then a result is going to be there. And as we prepare for our future in this life, and if we look at the way we operate, we don't just go about life haphazardly. And if somebody is just living randomly, then they need to course correct and check themselves. But usually when people are planning for their future, they're planning. They're looking, okay, what is the best way? What is the market looking for? How can I improve? How can I go and make sure that my future is secured? What investments do I need to think about? So we're looking for the best strategy to make sure that I'm living a comfortable life. And this doesn't mean that a person is planning to be a super millionaire or anything like that, but they want to live the American dream. They want to be successful. They want to be content. They want to have good relationships. So intelligence dictates that a person looks for the ways how that is going to become easy for them, instead of just living life on a random basis. Similarly, there is a strategy to get to Jannah. There is a way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us repeatedly throughout the Quran, repeatedly throughout the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what's the path to Jannah? What's the easiest path to Jannah? Now, just because something is easy doesn't mean just because something is easy or it brings you a quicker result doesn't mean that it's easy to actually implement. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, an akthari ma yudkhilu an-nas al-jannah, what is the thing that is going to enter most people into Jannah? And his response was taqwallahi wa husnul khuluq, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that awareness that leads to a person doing that which is right and avoiding that which is not correct. And also husnul khuluq, the good mannerisms that's there. And these two cannot be separated. Where it's only about my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes I pray, yes I fast, but then when it comes to my dealings with other individuals, it's not correct. Rudeness, cheating, deceiving, yelling, shouting, belittling. There's something missing here. If I have my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going strong, but then on this end, my relationships are terrible with people, there's something missing here. On the flip side as well, that if my relationships are good, I'm able to deal with people nicely, but then I'm neglectful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's something wrong there as well. Because these things have to go hand in hand. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi, hudan lil-muttaqin. That this book is a guidance for people. There's no doubt in it, and it's guidance for the muttaqun. Who are those individuals? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Pay attention to these three things. Number one, they believe in the unseen. So they have that faith, and whatever comes with that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed them with, they believe in that. Even though they don't see it. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they establish that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that taqwa is there. The relationship between me and my Creator, through my salah and through everything else that's there as well. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and from what we have given them, what Allah has given them, they spend from it. Now who is the one that benefits from this spending? Number one, Allah does not need us. He doesn't even need us to pray to Him. But it is us that benefits. But that spending is benefiting what? The relationships that we have. So Shaykh As-Sa'di, he mentioned that this is the pillars of the deen. That belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the relationship with Allah. And then on the other side, that relationship with people. And Ihsan has two parts. That relationship with Allah. And then on the flip side, that relationship that we have with one another. With our friends, with our families, with our children, with our spouses, with our parents. All of that comes hand in hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that indeed you are upon the best of mannerisms. And bringing that aspect, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he was asked, فَمَنْ أَحَبُّ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, who is the most beloved of Allah's servants to Allah? Now isn't this a question, isn't this a goal that we should all have? To become from the most beloved slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Him. Forget about who loves me. I don't care if this person loves me, if they think about me. But the one who is most beloved to Allah. How can I get to that level? And the answer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was, أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, the best of those individuals when it comes to their mannerisms. Those are the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the thing that is driving them to do that in the first place is that love of Allah, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then on the flip side, he also said that إِنَّ مِنْ أَحَبِّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ وَأَقْرَبِكُمْ مِنِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَجْلِسًا, that from the most beloved of you to me, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, and the closest of you to me on Yawm al-Qiyamah when it comes to gathering, is أَحَاسِنَهُمْ أَخْلَاقًا, the best of those who have that mannerisms. So just look at this. On one side, that good mannerisms, what does it give us? It makes us from the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who does not want to be from amongst the most beloved servants to Allah Azza wa Jal? Then on the other side, it makes us from the closest companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. None of us has seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of us had the pleasure to sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to hear him, to listen to him, to be in his companionship. But through bringing that trait of good mannerisms, we get to be from the closest people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now when we look at our tradition, you see there's so much ahadith, so much encouragement when it comes to good mannerisms. More than you and I could even think of. Abu Muhammad ibn Abi Zayd al-Maliki, one of the greatest scholars, he was known as Malik al-Saghir. He mentioned that he looked at all the ahadith and he said that the good mannerisms, they stem from four ahadith. four main ahadith that I want us to pay attention to. And as we look at these ahadith, I want you to reflect and imagine as well that what impact would it have if I brought these ahadith in my life? How would it impact me as an individual? How would it impact my relationships? And how would it impact us as a community if we were able to live these ahadith? Now, just because it brings us closer to Allah and brings us closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yawm al-qiyamah doesn't mean it's easy to implement. Because if it was, everyone would be doing it. If it was easy, then everyone would be doing it. But because of the high status of it, it requires effort. It requires a little bit of learning. It requires checking myself so that I can bring these into my life. The first hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." That whoever believes in Allah and his yawm al-qiyamah. So whoever believes in Allah and on yawm al-qiyamah, which means everybody here. All the Muslims believe in Allah and the last day. Then فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Then let them speak good or remain silent. The encouragement is where? Not to stay silent. The encouragement is to speak good first. In any situation, try to speak good. If you are unable to do so, then remain silent. Good communication has proven over and over through studies how it impacts relationships, how it impacts children, cognitively, behaviorally, emotionally, when they hear words of affirmation, encouragement. It impacts them. They model the behavior that they hear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That tell my believing servants to say that which is ahsan. Ahsan, which means choose your words carefully. The way you say it. Your body language when you're communicating. Somebody can be like, I'm so happy. Just because of their body language, you can tell that they're not happy. What they're saying is not really the truth because their body is conveying something else. And then also the timing as well. Sometimes it's not the right time to have a specific conversation. There's mental factors there that can derail that conversation. Why is this important? Why is it important for us to say that which is ahsan? To make sure we communicate clearly, effectively. Because of what's coming next. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. Because shaitan is going to come, and he's going to take that, and he's going to put words in our minds, in our hearts. Oh, what did he mean by that? How could she say something like that? Oh, they hate you, that's why they said it to you. So he's going to come and do his best to create misunderstandings within us. And most problems that happens within relationship, between husband and wife, is because of misunderstandings. Something that was said, but was taken a different way. Something was said, it was interpreted in a different way. The moment is interpreted in that way. Then it creates a feeling. That feeling creates a reaction, and that ultimately brings a result. So we have to make sure that we do not let shaitan do his dirty work. Because at the end of the day, he is an enemy to us and he wants to destroy relationships. And for each of these ahadith, we can learn how to do it. We can learn how to communicate effectively. We can learn how to choose our words. The next hadith, and this is related to this, is a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, give me advice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تغضب. Don't get angry. He's not happy with it. He's like, okay, give me more. He says, لا تغضب. Don't get angry. He repeated his request, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for a third time, he said, لا تغضب. Don't get angry. Because anger destroys relationships. That moment of anger, a person lashes out. They say whatever comes to their mind. They put their children down. They put their wife down. They put their husband down. They put their friend down. Now you have to go and do a whole repair process. It destroyed that safe space within the homes that a person can come and share whatever's on their mind. They share something with their father, their mother. The parent reacts. What? Haram.
How could you say something like this? Don't you know any better? What's wrong with you? What's the association that's now getting created within the child's mind? That it's not safe for me to say what's on my mind. And this happens enough, and they just bottle everything up, and rather they'll go and share with the other people outside who are going to give them terrible advice because their parent did not give them that safe space and they reacted at that time. Now there's one thing where this is a natural emotion that happens. Things happen, there's a sequence of things that happen, we feel the anger. And maybe we cannot control that feeling that comes there. But what is within our control is the reaction. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here is saying that don't act on that anger. Let it calm down, process it, then discuss it. Because we want to create that safe space within our home for our spouses, for our wives, for our husbands, for our children, for everyone. That if somebody is going through something, they might feel that I cannot talk about it. And the moment, and they believe that, and shaitan convinces them that it's true. And then they're like, you know what, let me go and try it out. Let me go and speak to this person. And when they go and they speak to them, and the moment they start talking and the reaction happens from the other end, especially one of anger, is like, how can you even think like that? What's wrong with you? Associations are created now that it's not okay for me to share what's on my mind. But we want to change that. We want to make it open for people to be able to communicate. And then we talk in a good way to resolve things. The third hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that min husn al-islam al-mar'i tarkihi ma la ya'ni, that from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave off that which does not concern them. This shows focused mastery. That from the good, how do you know somebody is progressing within Islam, they're improving, is they're not concerned about things that don't has nothing to do with them. What's important to me? What's going to improve my relationships? How am I going to grow in my career? How am I going to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those are the things, and other than that, that which is going to move the needle forward in their lives, those are the things that they focus on. But the things that have nothing to do with them, what this person said on TikTok, and what comments these person are saying, and what the biggest drama is going on between so-and-so person and this other person, that doesn't benefit me. Why do I need to get involved in that? Why do I need to open my tongue? And then why do I need to type something on the comment section? Sometimes when we look at the comment section of some of these videos, we're shocked that this is coming from Muslims. That where's the implementation of the hadith, say good or remain silent? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. If you're going to advise somebody, do it with wisdom. Do it in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had shown us. And the final hadith is la yu'minu ahad dukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi, that none of you truly believe, they don't get to the pinnacle of iman until they love for themselves what they, until they love for their brother what they love for themselves. This shows purity of heart. Pure heart, a heart that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that anything that they love for themselves, they love for others as well. And we got to look at this from a practical standpoint as well. That you, when you were a child, how did you want your parents to deal with you? How would you have loved for you to be addressed when you made a mistake? Do the same towards your kids. When you make a mistake, and you, how would you like to be addressed? Do the same towards others as well. Just like you want to succeed, wish good for other people as well. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So my dear brothers and sisters, just to recap, these four ahadith and four principles that we derive from them. Number one is communication mastery. And we want to think that, okay, where do I stand when it comes to these ahadith? And what is one thing that I can do that will improve it? We don't need to jump all the way to the end, but one step better than where I am currently. When it comes to, number one, my communication. Especially within our homes. Because it's easy to communicate nicely when we're outside. When we communicate with our colleagues. When we come to the masjid and we meet the brothers and sisters, it's easy. But it's difficult when you're tired and you go home and you're frustrated and then you have to deal with family. That's when it becomes easy for us to just say whatever is there. So what is one thing that I can do when it comes to communicating better? Number two, What is one thing that I can do when it comes to better emotional control? It can be as simple as, let me recognize at what times am I easily frustrated. And let me turn an unconscious behavior into a more conscious reaction. Number three, what is one thing that I can focus on that is going to move the needle forward in my life, in my relationships, in my connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, in my career, so on and so forth. And then finally, what is one thing that I can work on internally that is going to make me have a pure heart, more welcoming towards my brothers and sisters? Because it stems from here. If this is rectified, then it becomes easier to actually implement and do the things with our limbs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with good mannerisms. May He make us amongst the most beloved servants to Him. May He make us be in the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. May He make our scale of deeds heavy with taqwa and husnul khuluq. May He give us goodness in this world and the next. May He be there for our brothers and sisters all across the world, in Gaza, in Sudan, everywhere the Muslims and people are oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them. May He rectify the affairs. May He open the hearts of people to understand and recognize the truth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Slim was slapping more at the new. Please train the lines, close any gaps. Please make sure you fill up the rows in front before starting one in the end.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟ الله سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to your masjid on this lovely day, the 19th. Join us tonight for Moments in the Home of the Messenger Towards Building Prophetic Families with guest speaker Sheikh Omar Hedrog tonight after Maghrib. Al-Ma'idah is closed until next week. Quran Across America, Sheikh Yahya Rabi, Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy, and Qari Muhammad Ayyub Asif are in Raleigh for the first time on a Quran tour tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Marriott Hotel. Get your tickets via RaleighMasjid.org. Have you ever wondered what a day in the life of the Prophet was like? Find out in Blessed, an Al-Maghrib course coming up tomorrow the 20th from 10 to 7 p.m. Sign up now via almaghrib.org/blessed. The IAR Senior Committee invites you to join us for our bi-weekly coffee chat. The topic, Mariam Clinic, a community-based free healthcare clinic with guest speaker Dr. Munir Abdullah, tomorrow the 20th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. IAR is excited to announce an Islamic Jeopardy competition for youth and families. Teams will compete against each other to see who will win the prize. Register by tomorrow for 50% off. For more details and to register, go to RaleighMasjid.org. Jazakumullahu khairan. Enjoy this wonderful week. Wassalamu alaikum.